Okay, Morai Fabotai. So I guess this is the last year of the Zman. We'll try to do some more of Hilchos Tevilas Kelim, but just before we begin, I just want to thank you guys for what, for me, was, I think, a very productive Zman. And I, just looking around the Beis Medrash, I think you guys were learning very well. It happens that study of Yoredei and Halacha is a different type of learning than when you study Gemara. This was, for many of you, the first time when you've done this. It can broaden. You start with like a small text in Shulchan Aruch. It can broaden out to many different sugyas. And I think one of the major ideas that we were trying to accomplish over the year was that guys should get a sense of how Limud Halacha works, which is not a simple thing. Sometimes, you know, you ask a question to Rav Schechter and it's like so simple and so easy and mutter aser and, right? But l'maisa, what goes into learning halacha, there's a great deal. And I think guys should, A, appreciate that. Guys should know the feel of going through a sugya, through the Gemara, the Rishonim, down to the poskim, recognizing how the poskim weigh different things, and then coming out with a maskana. That is one element. Another element, which I think is important also to note, is that, you know, you guys are going to be rabbis, or those of you who won't be rabbis are going to be like A but K, right? Instead, you know, like in graduate school, they have ABD, all but dissertation. You'll be ABK, all but Klaf, in many cases. And the responsibility of being a Rav by Yisrael, in terms of knowing halacha, means on a certain level that you guys should be able to answer basic shailas. Obviously, at the beginning, the first couple of times when you get a shaila, you look it up, and you test yourself, but like the Gemara says at the end of Brachos, that David HaMelech went to his Rebbe Achitofa, and he said, Yafa HaReisi, or not. You know, you test yourself, you go to people, and you ask whether you said correct, or your analysis is correct, but effectively, you guys should be able to answer some of the most basic shilas. Obviously, there are some shilas that are more complicated, and you also have to be able to spot that. The goal of learning halacha, I think, is to be able to identify what are the simple shilas that I should be able to tackle on my own, and what are the more complicated shilas where I have to consult with people. Obviously, at the beginning, you consult on everything, or you consult on most everything. But as time goes on, you consult on less and less. In the beginning, it's just nervousness, right? We really feel, the hope is that, like, whoever will be signing your klaf will say, Yorav Be'ezer V'Heter, which means that you're able to paskin basic shilas. So you should know the experience of learning through sugyas. You should have the ability to paskin basic shilas and the confidence that you're able to do it. It wasn't an easy year, it wasn't simple sugyas, but you guys have gotten to this point. You should all be proud of yourself. You should all also take Bechina's number 4, if you've already taken Bechina number 3. If you haven't taken Bechina number 3, so then, oy vavoy, what can we do? I will, Bli Neder, email a Bechina number 4 out probably tomorrow to the guys. I have to type a Bechina, email it out. I'm assuming that no one's ready to take it today. That's my assumption. So I will email all of you a Bechina. And we should really feel accomplished. I have to thank you because for me, I learned this year largely because of you guys, which means that you reach a certain point when you realize that, you know, the guys are going to be on my case. And if I don't really understand what's going on in the Shach and the Taz and the Prima Gadim, guys are going to chap me, and that's a mechayev. So I'm appreciative to you, and we still have a little bit more to learn, so let's get to it, okay? Let's talk about Tevilas Kelim, and which Kelim require Tevila. We mentioned that the din is that Klei Seuda. The Gemara says Klei Seuda requires Tevila. The definition of Klei Seuda seems to be those Kelim that hold food. That's the simple thing. Some of the poskim say Klei Otsar. If it's a keli that holds food just for storage, does not require tevila. Many are machmir in that question. That relates to what we spoke about yesterday with the very large kelim, which are mechubar lekarka and the like, whether they require tevila or not. Part of that discussion in the dimyon between tumah and tahara was whether clay otzer require tevila at all. But the pashtus in most poskim is that clay otzer do require tevila. Now, to be clay seuda, obviously a pat is a clay seuda because you use a pat to prepare food. And a fork is clay seuda because you use a fork to eat the food. The shaila that comes up is, what about something that prepares food, but it's not really done as food yet? It's not completely ready to be eaten, but it's involved in the preparation. And Shulchan Aruch has a few cases of this in Se'if Hei, that we'll just talk about very briefly. Sakin Shoshchita, right? Or a Sakin Shemafshitin bow. That's a knife that you use to shecht an animal, or a knife that you use to remove the skin of the animal. So Yesh Misha Omer She'eino Tzarech Tevila. And the Rama quotes Yesh Cholkin V'tovlo Tovlo B'lo Bracha. Right? The Rama quotes Yesh Cholkin that you have to toivol your Shechita knife. And then the Rama further discusses cases of the Barzalim She'mesaknu Bahem Hamatzos, which are the redlach. You know, if you ever go to a matzah factory, I always wanted this to be my job, but I became a rabbi and said I wanted to be a redlar. You know, the guy who, like, runs over the matzahs with that little pointy machine. The most exciting job on the planet, right? So that's what I wanted to be. Those are the barzalim shemesakna behem matzos. They are similar in some ways to the sakin shoshchita because they are working on food that is not yet ready to eat. The Sakin Shoshchita is working on an animal that's not yet ready to be eaten because it's still an animal. And the Redlach are working on the dough, which is not yet ready to eat until it's baked. What's interesting to note is that with respect to Sakin Shoshchita, the Rama writes, Tovlo Tovlo Belo Bracha. With respect to the Barzalim that are Misakin the Matzos, the Rama says, that ain't Sarach Tevila at all. So let's talk about this sugya very briefly, the sugya of the Sakin Shoshchita and the Barzalim, and then we'll move on to a few other sugyas as time will allow. The Gemara in Chulin on Ches has a question about if a person is shochet with a Sakin Shalavo Dezara. Let's say you used a knife that was used for Avodah Zarah beforehand, right? You used that knife previously to shecht for some idol, and you shecht an animal with that knife. Is it going to be kosher or not? In the context of that sugya, the Gemara asks, but isn't the knife treif? It's a non-Jewish knife, presumably it's treif. So the Gemara at one place says, well, you were malabin the knife. You did libun on the knife beforehand, and therefore the knife is going to be kosher. Comes along the Balei HaTosfos, and the Balei HaTosfos says, oh, you tell me, kegoin shalibna ba'ar, how come you don't say that you also toveled the knife? The answer the Balei HaTosfos give is that a knife of shechita doesn't require tevila because it's not working on food that's ready to eat. So the Makar HaDavar is from that Gemara in Chulin. And the sakin that's used for hefshet of the behema also, the Rishonim speak about. And this is all, I'm just reading goins with you. I'm just reading the gra, os yod alof, yod beis, etc. Right? The sakin shal hefshet, one would have said it's a little different than the sakin shal shchita, because sakin shal shchita requires a tikkun gadol afterward. But sakin shal hefshet does not require a tikkun gadol, right? There is much more space between shechting the animal and eating the animal than there is between removing the animal's skin and eating the animal. So I would say maybe sakin shal hefshet is different. Kamash malon, that it's the same thing. Okay. So the first daya, that it doesn't require tevila, is based on that gemara in Chulin. The second daya, however, says, right, yesh cholkin, says that the Gemara in Chulin that says Kegoin Shalibna Ba'ar, aye, how come it doesn't say that you also tovot the knife? So the answer is because this knife doesn't require tevila, because al karchacha, we're talking about a case that you borrowed the knife from the guy, not that you bought the knife from the guy. Kalim that I buy from a guy require a tevila. Kalim that I borrow from a guy don't require a tevila. Zuk the gra in Os Yud Gimel, that we're talking over here about a keli that I borrowed from the guy. Because lu yitzuyer, if this would be a keli that I bought from the guy, if this knife would be a knife that was used for avodah zarah, and then I buy the knife from the guy, so zuk the gra, such a knife no longer has the din of a knife of avodah zarah anymore. There's a halacha based on the Mishnayis in Avodah Zarah, Nun, Nun Aleph, Nun Beis. This is actually a Mishnah Nun Gimel. The Mishnah Nun Gimel speaks about, Machlokes HaTanoim, if a guy used something for Avodah Zarah and then sells it to me, is that called Bittul Avodah Zarah? Right? There's a dinim of Bittul Avodah Zarah that a guy can tell the Getchka, or could say, you are no longer my Avodah Zarah, I don't believe in you, and it loses its din of Avodah Zarah. We, Tosfos paskins, that selling an item of Mishamshei Avodah Zarah, if I have something, the sakin that was used to shechet Avodah Zarah, it's not the actual Avodah Zarah, not bowing down to the knife, it's Mishamshei Avodah Zarah, it's something that's used in the service of the Avodah Zarah, right? Tosfos holds that we paskin like the Tana, that Mishamshei Avodah Zarah is not going to be batal al yidei selling it. However, the Mordechai and many other Rishonim paskin that Mishamshei Avodah Zarah will be bought al yidei selling it. The Gaon tells me, a brilliant Gaon, that the Rama over here who says Yesh Cholkim, the Rama over here who says that the sakin of Shchita requires Tevila, the Rama's going to say, you know why? Because the Gemara in Chulin says there's no Tevila. Because the Gemara in Chulin is speaking about that you are borrowing the knife from the guy, you're not buying it. How do I know that, says the Gain? Because the Gain says that all these Rishonim hold that if you would buy a knife from the guy, that would be the Bittul Avodah Zarah. And if it's Bittul Avodah Zarah, there's no Shaila to begin with. And since the Rama later on in Kuf Mem Vav paskins, in Kuf Mem Vav Se'if Ches, the Rama paskins that Misham She Avodah Zarah, if you sell it, that's considered bittul of the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the case in the Gemara can't be that you sold the knife. Al Karchacha, you borrowed the knife, and that's why it doesn't require Tevila. That's what the Gon says, right, in Os Yud Gimel. Right, we're just pointing this out, that the Gon actually knew how to learn. Right, it's unbelievable what he goes through. Right, there's a machlekes harishonim, right, and we would say the machlekes harishonim has something to do with whether an item that's used for food that doesn't really require that's not fully developed as food, it's not fully ready to use as food, whether that's chayiv and tevila, and that's all true. But the background of that, says the Gain, is a machlokis with respect to whether Mishamshei Avodah Zarah can be batal al yidei mechira. That's the way the Gain learns, which is a pretty good chap. Okay, let's go weiter. The Barzal that's Misakein the Matzos. So the question is, and the Shach and Os Yud Aleph raises this question, the Taz raises this question, Os Zayin, how come by the Sakin Shoshchita, the Rama says you should toivel it without a bracha, but the Redlach, you don't toivel at all? So the Shach answers that the reason why we toivel Sakin Shoshchita without a bracha is because, look, the Shach, the Sakin Shoshchita can be used for other purposes. It's a knife! I could do lots of stuff with a knife, no? Since it's a knife, I could use it for other purposes. Therefore, says the Shach, you have to toivel it, albeit without a bracha. But the redlach, what can you do with redlach all year long when you're not in a matzah factory? Absolutely nothing, no? It's only usable as redlach. If it's only usable as redlach, it's like the Shach, that's why it does not require tevila at all. That's the Shach in Os Yud Aleph. The Taz says, you know what? He thinks that fundamentally there's no difference between the red lach and the sakin shoshchita. And since the Ramah paskin that the second Shoshkita requires tevila without a bracha, so the Red Lach also required tevila without a bracha. Anything that's used on food before it's Ra'il Achila gets tevila without a bracha, according to the Taz. The Gain paskins like the Taz, not like the Shach. The Gain paskins that the Red Lach required tevila without a bracha. And he says, the Shach said that there's a distinction between whether it could be used for something else or not. Zucht, the Gain, brilliant, the Shach is against the Taisus in Shabbos. You see, we have a category in Shabbos called Muksa Machmas Chesaron Kis. Muksa Machmas Chesaron Kis is an item that you only use for one purpose, and that purpose is it's a Kelo Shemrat Ola'isa, but you use it for nothing else. So Yom Yachid La Makom, that you designate a place for the item, your makbid on the item. Such an item is muksa machmas chesaron kis. Taisus in Shabbos points out, what is the dugma klasit? What's the classical example, muksa machmas chesaron kis? Taisus has a shechita knife. Meaning, a shechita knife you don't use for anything else. So zach the gain, if Taisus tells you you don't use your shechita knife for anything else, obviously that's against the shach. The Gain hits another home run, right? The Gain hits another home run. Okay, so these are some of the issues with kalim that are used for food before the food is going to be ready. It happens that the Aruch HaShulchan has a distinction between the Sakin Shoshchita and the Barzalim Shemesaknim HaMatzais, and the Aruch HaShulchan's distinction is between Tikkun Gadol and Tikkun Katan, right? That the second Shoshchita does a bigger Tikkun than the Barazalim Shemesakna Mamatzis. Since only a Tikkun Katan, therefore it doesn't require Tevila at all, according to Aruch HaShulchan. It happens that for the Gon, there's no distinction between Tikkun Gadol and Tikkun Katan. Like he pointed out, we derive from the second Shemafshitan Bahen Ha'oros, which also does not require, which is the same as the Sakin Shoshchita, even though I would have said Sakin Shoshchita is more of a tikkun than that Sakin, etc. Fine. There is another discussion that's just very important. Someone asked me a shayla a few weeks ago like this. He bought himself an avocado slicer that also serves as an avocado depitter. Thus, avocado slicer / depitter is made out of plastic, with the exception of two metal pins that go into the avocado pit and hold it in place so that you can like depit it and then slice the avocado. Now, the thing looks like something from a different planet. It doesn't look like anything from planet Earth. And it's one of these things you can only buy from, like, Hamak or Schlemmer. Like, no normal store on the planet sells avocado depitter slicers. Did any of you ever see an avocado depitter slicer? See that? You're living a sheltered, cloistered existence. You gotta get out, Chef, right? No? Have to look at avocados. Now, that's the basic question that he asked. So, what's the story? What's the story with this? So, l'cha'ora, this is something about a keli that has part of it is not chayiv in tevila, and the other part is chayiv in tevila. That's Shulchan Aruch and Sif Vav, which is the discussion that we call a maimed. A kli eit sheyeshul chashukim shal barzel mibachot shema midin oisai ain ol ta'un tevila. The Mechaber says you don't have to tovel it at all. Meaning, the Mechaber follows the Tosos that we mentioned yesterday in Ayin Hey. Tosos tells me that the din of maimed is a halacha in tum and tahara. The din of Maimed is completely irrelevant when it comes to Tevilas Kelim, which is not based on Tumen Tahara. And therefore, if I have something that's wood and is supported by metal, Taisa says no Tevila whatsoever. However, the Mordechai quoted that there are many Rishonim who say that Maimed is Chayiv in Tevila. No? Many Rishonim say that Maimed is Chayiv in Tevila. If that's the case, if Maimed is Chayiv in Tevila, so then the Shach quotes that you should tovel the this kli eitz that's supported by metal, you should be tovel it without a bracha, Or you should tovel it with other kalim, like Taisus says. They are an ayin hay. That's my myth. So I thought that this avocado pitter peeler thingamajinger is also like a maimed. That you have the metal stuff, the metal pins that stick into the pit of the avocado that allow the avocado slicer to do its zach. So therefore, it's like a maimed, therefore you should tovel without a bracha. That's what I told this guy. Okay. Adkan the dinim of maimed. Again, that relates to the whole discussion about the relationship between tum and tahara and tevilas kelim. Another issue that relates to that discussion might be kelim of plastic, no? Plastic. Do you have to tovel? You go to the broyer's mikveh. There's a sign that says, you tovel plastic without a bracha. That's what it says in the broyer's kelim mikveh. And we don't do that. We don't tovel plastic at all, no? Why don't we tovel at all? We assume that it's not chayiv in tevila, ki huzeh. Those acharonim who say that plastic is chayiv in tevila base themselves. There's a tshuva in the Malamed L'Hoel, no? Reb David Tzvi Hoffman has a tshuva, where he says that since the Gemara says that glass is chayiv in tevila because it shares some properties with metal, so plastic also shares those same properties. Now, ani mamash lo mevin, because it seems to me that glass I could melt down and put it back together. I don't think you can melt plastic down and put it back together. So pashut lo hevanti the whole issue. Part of the discussion there in the Achron, if you look in the Tefilas Kelim book, I think page Samach Aleph Nunches, something like that. The Tefilas Kelim book quotes that some say that plastic is not chayiv in tefila because we pass that plastic is not makabel toma, the same dimyan. But we know that the dimyan to kabbalas toma is not necessarily fully accepted. No. We spoke about the Yad Ephraim, etc. So the Shaila of plastic is not a Pashut Shaila. Our practice is that we don't tovel plastic because we assume that we take what we call a strict constructionalist approach to the Gemara. The Gemara says that glass is chayiv in tevila because you could make it like, because it shares similarities to metal. Porcelain is discussed here in the Pischa Tshuva. Is porcelain chayiv in tevila? Porcelain also shares those similarities. Not only does it share similarities, porcelain, by the way, is really glass. The difference between glass and porcelain is how much silicone is in the sand that you bake and what temperature you bake it at, no? Porcelain is... Ceramics is baked at... I told you guys this. When my parents got married, my father had absolutely no money, so he couldn't buy my mother a ring. So my father told her, listen, I'm going to make you jewelry. My father has ceramics. This is what he does as a hobby, like as a kid growing up. I was like the weirdest kid, as you know, for many reasons. And one of the reasons I was like the weirdest kid is like the family hobby was at Motzei Shabbos. In the winter, we'd go down to the basement and we'd make ceramics. We had a big kiln. This was like the relaxing thing. My father would have his chavrusa Motzei Shabbos for a little bit of time, and we would be in the basement baking stuff, and he'd come down and show us like what we were doing wrong. That was basically the way we did stuff. And my father made my mother a ring, a ceramic ring, because he couldn't afford a normal ring when they got when they first got married. Since then, Baruch Hashem, he earned enough money. He bought my mother a few rings, whatever it is. Now, if you know anything about ceramics, porcelain, and glass are all the same material. The difference is the percentage in the sand versus the amount of silicone that's in the sand and what temperature you bake it at. Ceramics is usually baked at 2,000, porcelain is baked at around 5,000, glass is baked at around 11,000. It gets really hot in the house when you're making this stuff. Bahamev and Yoven, right? Really, really hot. But, okay, it's fun. Uses a ton of energy also, by the way. It's like, if you want to see like electric bills go through the roof, buy yourself a kiln. But, okay, so Zayin. That's the Yisod. Now, porcelain, most Achronim assume, doesn't require tevila, even though it's really the same as glass. How come it doesn't require tevila? So they answer, because it has a different shame than glass. And the Gemara, strict construction, the Gemara only says glass requires tevila, not porcelain. So we don't tovel porcelain. Right? And hu hadin, plastic. Even if the Malamed L'Hoel and that cheshbon is right, that it's you can do the same stuff with it that you could do with glass, etc. But lamaisa, the Gemara only says glass. So we pass in that only glass is chayiv against what they do in broyers. There is a little bit of a discussion that achronim. Let's say, should you toivel something anyway? Right? Lamaisa, one could argue that, okay, it's a discussion. What's the big deal? Toivel your plastic. So there is a line here in the Isser v'heter ha'aruch in klal nunches os pehe. When the Isser v'heter is talking about the redlach that we spoke about beforehand, those things that you use on the matzahs. So he writes, afilu lahat bilon below bracha ein sarech. V'yoser tov shelo letovlan d'shema asa levarech aleihen v'hever bracha levatala. The Isser v'heter aruch writes in nunches pehe that you shouldn't even toivel the redlach at all, even beli bracha, because people might come to make a bracha. I've seen it. I've seen people toiveling plastic, making a bracha. The Isser v'heter was a bright man. Right? He was sensitive to the problem. If it doesn't require tevila, don't do it. Yeah.
So what is
Bro, I assume they're holding like the Mlam Elohol. I think they say that there was some German minik to toivel plastic. Mlam Elohol was a German posek.
And porcelain?
Huh? Porcelain, the minik is that we don't toivel. Let's talk about porcelain now for a second. For us, the real issue is not porcelain, but what we call bone china. Right? Bone china, like plates. Plates come in different forms. There's corel. Corel is technically glass, correct? It's glass. It happens to be colored glass, but it's glass. If you drop a Corel plate, it shatters exactly like glass. Porcelain and ceramics shatter a little bit differently because it's not baked as hot. Glass shatters and like it spreads much further, no? People have broken the glass in their life at some point. You see the way it goes. Okay. So Corel is glass. So Corel requires tevila, lachor with a bracha like glass. I don't understand the Star K website that says that you don't have to tovel Corel with a bracha, they should tovel without a bracha. It's mamish glass. They tell you in their information's glass, ani lo mevin divrei hastarkei. Fine. China. So China is ceramic. Bone china is ceramic or porcelain. Porcelain doesn't require tevila. The only thing is it's glazed. No? If you ever look at your ceramic, there's a little, at your china, there's a little bit of glaze on the top. Do you require tevila on something that's glazed? The Gemara has a suffix about clay kunya. Clay kunya are clay cheres which are metzupim. So the Gemara has a shay, is it ketchilasai or kesayfai? Do we assume it's like the beginning of the keli, which is cheres, or kesayfai, the end of it, which is the layer on top? And the maskana of the Gemara is hilchasa kesofel. There's a machlokas Rashi and Taisus, how you understand that Gemara. Rashi and Ayin Hay learns that the Gemara is talking about clay cheres which are metzupim with mateches. Taisus on Lamed Gimel and Avodah Zorah write that the shail of clay kunya are clay cheres which are mesupin with zechuches. It's covered with glass. The Shevet HaLevi writes in the Tshuva that he thinks maybe the whole din of clay kunya, which we pass in his chayiv and tevil, is only a din derabbanan, like the Knesset HaGedola writes over here in Shulchan Aruch. And if that whole din is derabbanan, one could say that maybe the din is true only if it's mitzupa with mateches, and not when it's mitzupa with zechuches. Because mateches is chayiv min ha-tayra on its own, zechuches is only chayiv min derabbanan, maybe clay kunya, which are coated kelim, doesn't apply with mitzupin with zechuches. The shach nonetheless paskins over here in Ois Beis, quoting the Isser v'heter that even mitzupin bezechuches is the same as mitzupin with aver, with lead, right? So it's the same thing. So one svara to be more meko is against the shach. Another svara to be more meko on the china that's quoted is as follows. There is a machlekes mechaber Rama. What does quoted mean, by the way? The Rama writes that if it's mitzupa mi bifnim, it requires tevila without a bracha. The mechaber sounds like if it's mitzupa mi bifnim, it requires tevila with a bracha. For the Rama, if it's mitzupa mi bachutz, it also requires tevila without a bracha. For the mechaber, if it's mitzupa mi bachutz, it does not require tevila at all. That shaila about if it's mitzupa mi bachutz, not mi bifnim, is a very similar shaila to the Davar HaMaimed shaila of Sif Vav in Shulchan Aruch. Right, because it's really supporting. The reason why you're mitzapet mi bachutz is because in order for the keli to hold stuff and not to seep water through, you need the tzipoy of zechuches. No, That's why you coat stuff. That's why you glaze things. So it's not completely porous. Oh. The pashtus in Shulchan Aruch is that if you have klei kunya, you chayiv in tevila, right? And we pass in like the shach, even if it's mitzupa bezuchus, you chayiv in tevila. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva writes that our kelim, which have a very tiny, tiny amount of glass on the outside, since it's such a small amount, such a motion, it's not chayiv in tevila at all. In our yeshiva, that's how we paskin. Rav Schechter paskins this way, Rabbi Tendler paskins this way. It's like what it says in the Tshuva of Igris Moshe. Rav Mordechai Gifter in the Yeshurin Journal also paskin this way, that we don't tovel China at all. In other places, in other yeshivas, they do tovel China. The difference between toveling China and not toveling China, we're talking about mamish dozens of hours during Sheva Brachas. Right, this is your entire Sheva Brachas I just saved. For those of you who are not married yet, we just saved your Sheva Brachas about not toveling China. I did not tovel my China. If ever you eat in my house, know that I didn't tovel my China. I guess I'm a Reformed rabbi. That's like, well, that's Yadua. But I think the minig in our yeshivas that we don't tovel China, we assume because it's such a tiny amount, it doesn't require any tevila kihuzeh. That seems to be the psak of our yeshiva. Okay. Other issues to discuss in terms of tevilas kelim, very briefly, is that we paskin that when you tovel kelim, you make a bracha. No, that's in Seif Gimel in Shulchan Aruch. Yivarech ha-tevilas keli. If it's shnayim o-yosi, you make a bracha ha-tevilas kelim. Right? The Chelkas Binyamin notes that this is very rare, that the nusach ha-bracha changes based on how many you light, no? We make a bracha behind the kner shol Chanukah, both on the first night and the second night of Chanukah, no? Women make a bracha behind the kner shol Shabbos. Right, whether you light one, two, or most women don't light one, unless you're a Lubavitch girl before marriage. But whether you light two, three, four, or five, right, you right, make a bracha lahad like ner shol Shabbos. The Prima Gadim Tak in Hilchos Shabbos writes that maybe if you're lighting more than one candle, you should say lahad like neros shol Shabbos. But usually the nusach habracha doesn't change based on how many things you're doing. This is like a collector's item. There's another example of this in Hilchos Erevin. We pass in that if I'm making an Erev for the town, I make the bracha al mitzvahs Erev. Let's say I'm making an Erev Chatzeros and an Erev Tavshilon at the same time. Then it says in Shulchan Aruch, I should make a bracha al mitzvos Eruvin. No? That's the other one. That's the other collectors. And this Prima Godman, Reish Samach Gimel, which is a little unusual. It happens that the Shach and Ois Ches paskins that the Nusach HaBracha is not Al Tevilas Kelim, but it is Al Tevilas Klei Mateches, or Matres, right? So, and you get an impression from the Shach that even if you're toveling glass, you make the Bracha Al Tevilas Klei Matres, because the Ikar Tevilas on Klei Matres and Zechuchas is only because it resembles Matres, like we mentioned. The Shach is basically saying that you can't make Bracha Al Tevilas Keli or Kelim, because not all kelim require a bracha. Because plastic, wood, etc., doesn't require any bracha. Doesn't require tevila. So therefore, you can't say al tevilas kelim. That's what it says in the shach. And that, by the way, is the nusach of the Isser v'heter in Ois Kuf Gimel. The shach actually has the wrong marimakim in my shach. It's Ois Kuf Gimel in the Isser v'heter. If you look in the hagos, in the back of the Isser v'heter, and the taz is mitzayin, this in Ois Hei, right? The hagos in the back of the Isser v'heter says that you should not make a bracha la ha'al tevilas keli kelim at all. The nusach ha'bracha should be stam lehat bil. That's what the Taz quotes. Our practice is that we make the bracha al tevilas keli or kelim, which is not like the shach and not like the Taz, which itself is unusual. Reb Kiva Eger has a suffix. He quotes in the Prima Godim, who's a suffix. If I didn't make the bracha before tevila, then make the bracha after tevila. That's the shayla that Akiva Eger has. In the Chelkas Binyamin, he's Meva'er based on the Sugyam Psachim Daf Zayin. The Gemara Psachim says that all mitzvahs, you make the bracha over Lasi Yasan. The one exception is the mitzvah of Tevila, because since a Ger can't make the bracha beforehand, you make the bracha afterwards. Taisa says that Hu Hadin, when an Isha goes to the mikvah, she makes the bracha after. That's the practice of Ashkenazim, no? That women make the bracha after they go in, but in order to make it a little bit over Lasi Yosin, we do the Hail Your Double Dip of Seinfeld and the Shloha Kadosh, which is that we go twice. Right, you go once, make a come up, make a bracha, go a second time. Right, that's the Heiliger double dip that Ashkenazi women do, because we follow Taisus fundamentally that we don't want to make the bracha beforehand. The Sephardi woman makes a bracha before she goes into the mikvah. K'moshen kasev in Yerideya Simin Reish. I actually had a shaila this week. A young man in my shul is marrying a woman who right now is a Sephardiya. He's an Ashkenazi. She wanted to know when she goes to the mikvah this week before the wedding, does she make the bracha beforehand or after? That was her chat. So it was a very exciting shaila. I spoke to Rabbi Simon, he called Rav Abadi, spoke to everyone was like getting involved in this. Shaila must assume that she should make the bracha like a Sephardiya, because she still is a Sephardiya. Rav Shapta says, even after marriage, you should make the bracha like a Sephardiya. That's the preferred practice. Rav Shapta can sometimes be a little different. Now, Rav Shapta makes the bracha on the Tilos Yadayim before he washes his hands, no? Most people follow Taisus, they make it on the Tilos Yadayim after. Okay. So the Rabbi Yamin Cohen Tainos that the suffolk and the prima donna about whether if you didn't make the bracha before and do you make the bracha after is that maybe Tevilas Kalim is a shtickle like Tevilas Nida and Ashkenazi should make the bracha after. That's his hesber. I thought perhaps that there's a different hesber based on what it says in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Tes Vav. Sif Tes Vav discusses that if a goy is tovel l'kelim, so that also works. A goy has no nemonos on tevilas kelim, but if you know the goy tovel it, so then it does work. The Taz says that you shouldn't have a goy tovel l'kelim for you because you're going to lose out on the bracha. But the impression I get from the Rashba is that even l'chatchila goy could tovel l'kelim for you. How does that work? So the answer might be that the Rashba holds that the bracha of tevilas kelim is not on the Maisa HaTevila, like the Taz assumes it is. Rather, the bracha on Tevila's kelim is on the Chalos Shein that the kelim become Hutbal. Once the bracha is on the Chalos Shein that they become Hutbal, so one could argue that any bracha on Chalos Shein, like the bracha of Lachnisa, Bevisor Shalavrem Avinu, we could do not over Lasi Yasan, we could do afterwards. Once again, obviously much more to say. We have to continue learning, right? I used to say in Camp Monk as a kid, learning never ends, learning groups are now over.